My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine.
Why are you here? Why?
That is what we're asking ourselves every night.
This, it's welcome to This Week in Mormons, everybody.
And, hello.
We don't, why are you here? I don't, you know. Who are you?
I feel like this is the end of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
This is my new version. As we embark on the third year, basically, now of this podcast, which we started last week. We didn't even celebrate that, actually. Last week was the start of our third year. We completed two 52-week cycles. So
I kind of want to go back and listen to episode one again.
It's probably pretty awful.
I bet it is.
Especially, though, because there was no banter. And so we, like, at this point in that episode, we were like, so, in the news, boom.
yeah, we kind of
I kid you not.
We're like, here's the agenda for the week.
And Al, you know how I often feel insecure? Like, I feel like you are the reason people tune into this show because you're
And I feel like your beard is the reason people
Because
tune
you're funnier
into
than me. Except for someone this past week out here who listens to our show told me that they listen to our podcast, but they fast forward any time you speak. And it cracks me up.
What a jerk.
I love them.
Who are they? Brittany Plothow?
No. I think she's abandoned us. She was liking all those comments about us offending people. Maybe she's
not. Maybe she is offended.
Be not
maybe
offended,
it was
Brittany.
Her. Maybe she's the poop disturber.
So, Brittany, we miss you. What happened to Rich? Rich, where are you?
I miss him.
And Rick.
Also,
we have the both
our
of
lawyer
them.
Man.
Yeah, I think that's Rich.
Oh.
We yeah. love our new listeners who have been interacting with us, but we miss some of you old school folks who used to be regulars.
Was it Rick? Was he the old school guy that like would leave lengthy, thoughtful comments?
There was a Rick and a Rich, so that's
he was my favorite. He corrected me on all the times I would like misappropriate temples.
Yep. So we miss all of those fine people who have been with us since the beginning.
I bet they only left because. Technology problems. We're making moves to fix that this week. You'll be excited to know.
It might
people.
Get drastic. There's an outside chance to those of you who subscribe in iTunes, you will need to resubscribe.
No, I'll be able to save your
So we'll see what happens with that. We'll let you know though. Don't worry
but
about
I got
it.
New servers in the works where I'm finally gonna fork out $9 a month to pay for some real legitimate hosting.
That's right, because pretty soon we're going to be making money from the Utah Bridal Association. Utah Bridal, where you can plan to have your wedding
in a stake center. UtahWeddings.com.
That's right, where every wedding is like tomorrow.
Wasn't that the one that was in the RM? They had that like infomercial thing.
Oh,
like
I don't remember. I mean, the RM of all, that's just a terrible film.
No, let's see. What was
on so many levels. Like, his parents are really going to be confused about the day he gets home. Like, that would ever in a million years happen.
Jeff, in Utah?
You know how
where
crazily...
missionaries are so commonplace that parents don't even miss their children?
But they do miss their children, except for when they fail to count them on the census forms 10 years ago, and that cost Utah a seat in the House. But they do miss them.
Poor...
I mean, I understand it's a satire, but parent, you know, you cross the line at some point. I mean, parents.
No,
are not,
come on.
No parent is going to be like.
It's a comedy.
It's a terrible
that's
comedy.
That's like saying there are no three actors in Hollywood that would dress up like amigos and go to Mexico to fight drug cartels.
Is this the
of course of not. It's a comedy.
I know. But just, you know, come on.
You're
of all just the things,
you're in a rotten mood.
I'm not in a rotten mood because one thing I love about that movie is that he served his mission in the Evanston, Wyoming mission, which doesn't
Chevy
exist.
Chevy Chase served his mission in the Evanston?
No, I'm talking about the RM.
Wait. Oh, the RM.
Because Evanston is down there in southwest Wyoming. It's like...
Yeah,
really
you drive through it on your way to Utah.
Exactly.
I know.
It was like a joke. Because that movie's really... Witty.
It's funny.
It's got a script.
Witty, borderline clever.
It's like Diablo Cody and Aaron Sorkin got together and wrote the best script of their lives and put it on a Mormon
Until
film.
The singles ward.
And that was actually the first one, though. And I will still stand by it. The original singles ward is actually a well-written, entertaining film, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah? All right.
A lot of other Mormon films are awful, but The Singles Ward was actually pretty dang good.
The only ones I find bearable is The Best 2 Years and mm-hmm. The Singles Ward and RM.
What about Saints and Soldiers? Do you count that one?
I remember seeing that.
Come on, man. It's like Saving Private Ryan without a budget. It's awesome.
Without a budget and without the killings.
Yeah. Though it was originally rated R.
Really?
Yeah. The original cut was R-rated. They had to edit it just a little bit to get the PG-13.
What did they edit out?
I think I don't think the movie was ever designed to be gory or anything like that. I believe the reasons, because, you know, the MPAA is cryptic and weird and mysterious, but they it was something like seeing main characters die, but in a more like intimate, emotional way merited the R rating.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Something like that, as opposed to making it like less personal, I guess. I'm not sure, so.
I'd believe that.
Because indiscriminate killing is less offensive than someone you care about dying for a cause.
That's like in God's Army, when that guy is sick at the end.
Oh, yeah, I mean the 40-year-old mission companion? Right.
They give him a blessing.
It's better than Legacy. Okay, I have to... Who was I talking to this past week? Somebody, we all laugh about Legacy, like when, you know, she like blesses the ox and stuff. It's gone.
Hey,
down.
Sometimes you need to bless an ox.
Someone told me like, that's my favorite part of the whole movie. It's so inspiring. And I'm a cynic. I'm a jerk. I don't know what I am, but I just.
Jeff, that it teaches a good principle.
That women should pretend they can exercise priesthood authority on livestock?
No. Well, no, that's an interesting question, because I've always been raised that a woman, you know, like in the end, a woman and a man are like yoked together in, like, they have access to the same priesthood, right?
Well, yeah, sure.
And so the idea or the thought was that, you know, a woman doesn't necessarily have her own priesthood to exercise, but she can call on the priesthood, or I don't know. Did you ever have lessons like that would like drift into that area?
No, most of my lessons were about how women don't have the priesthood and are lesser creatures to our male dominated church. Yeah,
that's a terrible thing to say, Jeff.
I don't make the rules.
I hope that snippet is cut out when you're running for office someday and played over and over.
Play
again.
Play it over and over
News
again.
Network.
Go ahead, Rick Santorum. Play this audio bite all you want.
And then you'll be the Obama guy up there saying, no, if you let me finish, I was actually making fun of the fact.
But honestly, I can't wait until our generation starts running for a higher office, because
with social media
and everything else out there, it's going to be hilarious how much stuff is not off limits anymore. I mean, what can, you know, we're just going to have to accept.
Isn't it true, Mr. Openshaw? You said giggity, giggity, bangity, bang. Following a night on the town with your friends.
The best you could come up with was giggity, 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 bang?
Bangity, bang.
Whatever.
I've been watching a lot of How I Met Your Mother.
As have I, but I've paused
bang,
for a little
bangity,
bit.
Bangity, bang.
Let's
bang,
talk
bang,
about
bang.
How I Met Your Mother for a second, because I was against it like I am most CBS sitcoms. And then I got roped into watching it a few weeks ago, and I actually found it very entertaining, so I've been watching more of it.
You know you'd also like, which you'll be resistant to at first, The Big Bang Theory.
No, because I've actually watched The Big Bang Theory, and I think it was novel at first, and I like Jim Parsons' character, but overall, no, I've seen enough of that. It doesn't do it for me. But I think How I Met Your Mother is actually pretty hilarious.
Do you agree with me that you see like past relationships?
I see a little bit of that, but more than anything, I hate Ted so much.
How do you hate Ted Mosby?
I don't hate Ted Mosby as much now as I used to, like during season one. But overall, I find him to be the least likable character on the entire show.
Yeah, he is.
He's an idiot. He's like a pastiche of... he's basically trying to find like... It's like Ross from Friends and JD from Scrubs and trying to make him one guy. It's like they want us to sympathize with him, but we just don't. And I think in later seasons they've given up on the sympathizing angle, and so it's
It's not a show about Ted anymore, for sure.
Yeah, because he sucks.
But anyway.
Anyway, I just started season four, so no spoilers.
So how was your day, Jeff? You had a good day today. You seem on edge.
I'm only on edge because my podcasting partner belittles me when I have simple questions about technical things.
I don't mean to belittle you, but
he gets so offended because he thinks I'm asking.
I say things like, "Okay, I'll Google that for you and answer your question," or Okay, let me read the fact so I can answer your question.
You know I am happy to read these things, but at the same time, when sometimes when it's just faster, if I have a source of quicker knowledge in front of me.
I am your Mechanical Turk.
Yes.
You create tasks and have me execute them and then give you the summary.
Sometimes. Not always.
It's true.
Yes. Anyways, no. I'm just hum dandy. Got President's Day coming up this weekend. Excited for that because celebrate our wonderful founding fathers.
Wait, when is that?
President's Day.
Is that Monday?
I believe so, yes.
Wow. Are you doing anything scandalous for Valentine's Day?
For Valentine's Day itself, there's an off chance I might be going to see, I kid you not, high school students reading love poetry penned by themselves.
Oh, that could be great.
I know. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Especially because they try very hard to make it not cheesy.
Yeah, so there'll be that, and there's also this big like DC Lonely Hearts Mormon Film Festival thing going on, and it might
be. Oh, that can't be good.
It might be pretty entertaining. I almost submitted my old chicken video to it just for fun.
You should have.
You've seen that, yeah?
I have.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I forgot it was Valentine's Day. I drove home from Utah early. Here I am in Kansas City now, and not a soul here.
I will tell you this: the exciting thing about Valentine's Day, I can't talk about Valentine's Day this year. This will be my 1 year Netflix anniversary. Very excited.
Oh yeah,
I set it up on Valentine's Day last year and watched Notting Hill by myself.
What did you watch? That Hugh
Notting,
Grant film?
I watched Notting Hill by myself at midnight in my room. It was awesome.
I think I should carry that torch this year.
I encourage you to watch Notting Hill. Maybe I'll watch it tomorrow just to keep the spirit.
But we
alive.
Can live tweet.
We should just live tweet. And we will do it from the TWIM Twitter account.
It'll graduate from TWIM into our Forever Alone Twitter account.
Well, it'll be fine because who says we have to use our Twitter account for things that matter? Like look at the Mormon Bachelorette's Twitter account, which just is nothing but promotional crap that has nothing to do with the show. You know, we can do it.
I do not look at the Mormon Bachelor.
I subscribe to them.
Hey, they're bringing it back, aren't they?
I cannot say. There's nothing official. I've heard musings that it is coming back.
After our accusation that they were going away and that they should go away forever?
Yes. So nothing is official, but I believe they have an announcement slated for, well, today, when everyone listens to this. So my sources have told me that it actually is coming back.
How appropriate that on Valentine's Day.
That's the idea. Cheese fest.
Another foray.
So the question is, Al, I think you and I both need to apply to be on it.
I think we should.
I think we'd both be very entertaining. You alone would offer up some of the greatest comedic fodder I could just fathom in a situation like that. It would be.
I think we should, and it'll just be a really provocative YouTube video. That'll be my submission.
I'm serious. I will. Okay, if you submit and apply for it, if they do it, I will as well.
All right.
Okay.
Done. It'll all be, the video has to be completely just dance moves. So it'll be us talking, and then as it pans out from the head, you see our entire body dancing, belly dancer style.
Or just
that's
cut in clips from previous application videos you've made, like the Amazing Race one, the 67 Days in Orlando.
I love technology.
And we use it shamelessly. The best part of that.
How do you convey that you're social media gurus?
The best part of the Orlando video is you're sitting there like looking like you were reading from a cue card for the first time in your life. And you're just like, I mean, seriously, social networking is our thing. Like with no conviction whatsoever.
Our script was so difficult. This is a hard game.
So it's fun. So
stay tuned for our application videos. What?
I think this does have to happen. Yeah, absolutely.
How humiliating.
One of us needs to get married, so.
Yeah, that'd be a good time.
Better you than me.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So, hey, we got some.
Hey, content, you know. Hey.
We've got some.
A little bit of a slow week this week, but there's still some stuff out
there. Been an incredibly slow week this week.
Don't you love Jeff it when we say that and our episodes are still like an hour long? I don't know.
You had that story that you shared. You know, that one.
Oh, you want me to? I can do the Mormon Midrashism thing?
Yeah. So the feedback I got on that was that he talked in circles. I had one girl email me and say, hey, that thing Yeah, you guys just talked in circles.
I guess there's a little bit of that, but so this is called the website is Mormon Midrashim, and the publication is The Priesthood, Cooperative Culture, and Why Mormon Women Don't Need Liberals to Save Them from Me. So there are quite a few things to tackle here. Mostly it's a critique of Sally Denton's critique of Mormonism that's in the New York Times, and he picks it apart. I think it has some valid points, because her thesis is summed up as following, that Mormonism is a valid issue of concern not as a religious test for office, but for its most distinctive characteristic, male authoritarianism. Mm-hmm, so the translation, mm-hmm. as he says, is it's wrong to vote against someone because of their religion, unless their religion has a male priesthood.
Yeah, see if you can just tie it into the fact that it's oppressing women. Yep. Golden.
So it's actually, I think it's a good article defending some valid points, especially talking about, because then the article goes on to say that given that Mitt Romney is a high church official and not just a member, voters are right to be circumspect. And I read this same critique and I was like, really? Because Mitt Romney is not a high church official. If he has a calling
right
now.
He
was a stake president, yes. But he's currently not a stake president. I don't know if he even has a calling right now. And if he does, it's clearly not a high church official calling. He is not in the 70 or an area authority 70 or anything like that, you know? And so that's frustrating because it's misleading to readers. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so this guy, it's actually a pretty long article, so I'll spare you a lot of the details, but it's fair. I can agree with this talking in circles, hence its unnecessary length. But the critique of Mormonism tries to paint the picture of women who are being oppressed by, you know, dominant males in this faith, and then he picks this apart to say, no, that's not true, and also Mitt Romney is, that's not what's happening here or what happened with him when he was a leader in the church.
Do you ever run in, like, because I've had conversations with some women, but do you ever run into women that feel like the church is chauvinistic and oppressive?
Oh yeah, even active ones, definitely. There are many women who feel that there is zero justification for women not having the priesthood.
Which, what's your typical defense there?
Well, it's hard to say what the defense is. Oh, and he actually quotes this here. It's funny you mentioned this, that 8% of U.S. Mormon women say they should have the priesthood. That was from that Pew study from about a month or so ago.
It's so odd to me. It's a conversation or an argument that I have a really difficult time putting myself in a position to really understand it, because having the priesthood for me, you know, it's one of those things that, like, I think should be incredibly more meaningful than it is. I mean, it's meaningful, but like. Day by day, I don't think, gosh, I'm, you know, like, and I should, but I lack something around it, but like, I don't see it as something that's like this huge advantage for me and a disadvantage for women. You know, we talk about it a lot where it's like, it's more the responsibility or whatever, but
yeah.
But I mean, that is kind of genuine when you say that, where it's like, no, that's what it is. I feel like I have more responsibility because of it. I would love to have none of that and have just, not that Relief Society is any less responsible, but you know what I mean? Like, we're deferred to in a lot of cases, and it's like, well, shucks. Women are much more capable than I am. Why can't I defer to them to come over late at night and
right.
take care of sick babies?
Well,
I guess I do.
I mean, you know, there are no good straightforward answers other than this is the way the Lord wants it. And, you know, yes, we have different competencies as men and women, which is fine in my eyes, but I'm also not the one on the alleged oppression end, right? You know, I mean, if you wanted to look at it through those eyes, I am the one with the priesthood who is dominating and what have you. But I've never felt that way at all. I mean, if anything, right. sometimes you just feel like there's so much responsibility and so much stuff riding on not just actively using your priesthood for good, but living worthily to do so and all of that stuff. I mean, I think there's plenty of stress and self-doubt and concern that comes along with all that.
And so, like, I understand that some women can feel discriminated against in the fact that, you know, there's something that they can't have, right?
For sure.
There's a thing that they can't have, but I have a really difficult time even connecting with the argument that, you know, it's a church that discriminates against women.
Yeah, well, because you know what you say to that. I am incapable of having a zygote implant into my non-existent uterine wall. So, trade-offs.
Well, that is what everybody says.
I mean, but I mean,
at the same time, you look at the leadership of our church, and it is like, I mean, it's almost all male, right?
No, it is, and the women who are leaders are not general authorities; they are general officers. So you rope them in with like the Sunday school presidency and everyone else who seems very administrative. And in that
and you
sense,
make them wear those tacky pastel pantsuits.
Except for Dalton, she knows how to dress.
Elaine S.
Oh, I like her. I will agree with that. I'm not here to, by any means to suggest that I have any authority or insights into how things should be redone, but it almost seems like, how is it like the RS general presidency is not possibly a general in the general authorities as opposed to an officer? I know the answer on paper is because the priest, you know, the whole Relief Society functions.
The authority comes from the priesthood.
Comes from the priesthood, right. So I get it, but same time, it seems kind of sad to have that all kind of pushed aside to the general officers and auxiliary stuff, you know. As
what's interesting is there's no real like like prestige that comes, you know, like nobody looks at somebody says, oh, high councilman knocking it out of the park, way to go, Beege, you know, like that. Like that doesn't happen. And so the idea that even you know, a general authority that they'd somehow, you know, be lifted up in their own pride of the office that they've attained. Like, I guarantee you, you go talk to Julie Beck or Elaine S. Dalton or, you know, any of those great women up there and say, you know, how does it feel, you know, being an officer and not an authority? You? They would say, bah-ha-ha-ha! You know, like, are you serious?
Right.
I could care less. But for us, you know, for the, I guess the rank and file or just random women that feel oppressed down here, you're gonna find something to be offended at, I guess. I don't know.
No, it's the norm.
I never know what to say to that argument. That was why I was interested.
Well,
curious is all.
Ladies, let us know how you feel.
Ladies? So Peggy Fletcher Stack weighing in for the first time in what feels like forever.
I've missed her so much.
Hello again, Peggy.
Oh.
The PFS. There's an article in the Salt Lake Tribune about Mormon Church apologizing for baptizing Wiesenthal's parents. So, I don't even know if that's how you say it. Simon Wiesenthal.
Probably Wiesenthal.
He's a Holocaust survivor and a Jewish rights advocate. And there's a center named after him that is incensed because his parents were baptized in Mormon temples. Such actions make a mockery, they say, of the many meetings with the top leadership of the Mormon Church. This is obviously kind of frustrating for both parties. I'm sure the church wasn't excited to hear about this. I mean, it's kind of a facepalm type moment because they're not advocating this, but there's some well-intentioned dude out there that's like, you know, let me go take care of these people. Maybe he's even somehow related or whatever it is. Thinks he's doing a good thing, clearly is not. Just around. Well, it is a good thing, but like we've agreed not to. So, a little bit of a setback so far as those conversations.
Well,
go.
I think it's very inopportune given the extra attention things like baptisms for the dead have been receiving lately, because there's these misconceptions that that people are forced to, you know, we baptize them and they are baptized, when, you know, the media does not go out of its way to explain that it is something that we perform and that individual has the option to accept it or not, which is a very important thing when looking at it, because otherwise you would look at temple work and assume that we are just ramming through all of this stuff and Mormonizing everybody without anyone's consent, right?
You know, that's interesting, because I look at that and I'm like, well, sure, they wouldn't report on that because it's, you know, kind of the caveat and whatever. But like, if they want to go through the I guess effort of understanding the baptism for the dead and the fact, right, you know, how that ordinance works and that we're doing it in proxy. Bless me.
Bless you.
Thank you. And we're doing it in proxy and stuff, but they refuse to kind of acknowledge the fact that beyond that, even we see us as doing this ordinance and proxy for everyone and them having the choice. You, We'll never see that report. That'll never be
Which
fed
is
into
frustrating.
An article. But
and a lot of this stemmed.
I don't think it's so far-fetched.
And I understand it's okay that even though, you know, these groups or individuals have the option to accept or not accept, which is fine. That it's still a sensitive thing. Just like years ago when we baptized many Holocaust victims, the Jewish community was upset, so we backed off. You know, and so that this happened is an unfortunate mishap, I guess we could say.
So the reprimand was they suspended this guy's access to genealogy databases, and the Jewish folk want more severe consequences for anybody that does this. First a reprimand, then something stronger, maybe excommunication.
Maybe, no, that would never happen. Maybe we should come at them and say, okay, how about you guys don't crucify our Lord? No?
Too soon?
Too soon?
Too soon.
I apologize to our Jewish listeners. I love Jewish.
I apologize too.
I love them all.
Immensely. I apologize for Jeff.
You should. Hey, we all have different belief systems and that's fine. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying.
Why don't you go hate on Paris for a minute?
Okay, we can do Paris real quick. Opposition to the Paris Temple. Oh, yes. You wonder what was going on with the weird YMCA-esque temple they were putting in Paris. And it appears that, you know, like anywhere else, they've had some problems. The sad thing is this is a classic case of the church complying with every legal statute.
My favorite headline from this was, Mormons in Paris, French kiss off.
Where's that from?
It was one of the other papers.
Oh, I want to see that one. Okay. Anyway, so it's this classic case now where the principal or the community that it's in, what is it, Le Chesnay, which is near Versailles, is, you know, taking issue with stuff for all the same reasons they usually do. That would put a strain on the town. One person said it very sadly because they want to instead put in, have the city purchase the lot instead, and then through expropriation build social housing, apartments rented at moderate prices that the city apparently badly needs, instead of building a national temple for a population that baptizes the dead. Should we not first give proper equipment, work, and lodgings for the living?
Ooh, lawyered.
Thank you. I understood that one. See? Ha! I don't know about that. It's kind of sad. So we'll see. The mayor is... It's the kind of thing where there's a website now against it that has 6,000 protests or signatures to protest the building of the temple, blah, blah, blah. But apparently the site the church put out about a month ago, the official one for the Paris Temple, has actually done a good job in kind of calming some of that down, which is kind of nice to see. Information always helps people. It's very interesting, though, because while the church is not on France's sort of red flag list of cults or religions, like how Scientology is considered a cult in Germany and in France, I'm sure you've heard of that. In the past, the church used to be kind of in that same realm. And this article is good, though, because it explains that a little bit more. I think it's easy when we see someone say Scientology is a cult for us to say, well, yeah. But they explain it a bit more in detail because the point is they consider it extortion because it requires, as they say, requiring a significant amount of money to allow access to vital religious material, sacrament, or ordinances. And so the logic in the past has been that just as the church, to enter the temple, you have to be what? Involving
money?
A full tithe payer. And so that to find the exaltation that we seek, one has to donate a tenth of one's income to the church, and that's why it's gotten us in hot water with some governments of other countries before. And so I guess I understand that point of view. I don't agree with it, but I get where they're coming from when it comes to that. Because, you know, so there are naysayers in these countries who believe that the church is all this front that uses the temple experience to sort of beguile people into funding the church through tithing. So kind of sad, but... That's the nature of that.
Well, glad the French have come around.
Yeah, so at least they're being sort of cool with it, but we'll find out what happens with the temple in Paris.
I love that movie. Let's see. So there's the fraud school going on in Utah.
I love fraud school.
I think this week, right?
Yes. It's this week in Mormons, Al.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
So Fraud College is happening up there, which is the its sole purpose is to educate Utahns about not being ripped off. I think it's well. And so the interesting thing about this is that the church is actually sending a spokesman to speak there.
Right.
The public affairs managing director will be making a presentation there.
Otterson.
I like that the church is paying like real attention to this. They're seeing this as a legitimate problem. The fact that we as a people kind of carry this air of being gullible and easy to be taken advantage of.
Well,
I think it's something that we should take very seriously and try to shake off.
Well, I think there's that, and also that we're just trusting. When the label Mormon is put on something to other Mormons, we inherently trust people more. And of course, this is in response to around Christmas time. We saw that story of the guys who are running the Ponzi scheme, basically, and using their Mormonism to get people to trust them to handle their money.
Man, we saw a ton of those.
Yeah, and this is why the church is being involved in this now. It's straight up exactly for that reason.
Still.
But the trust thing is funny. I've known people who are officers of the law in Utah, and they have told me that countless times during traffic stops, people pull out their temple recommends along with their license and registration, as if showing the cop, like, "Hey, buddy, I'm a temple going member of the church." It's that same idea, like, "Oh, well, in that case, we're all in this together, right? Hey, come on."
Hey, if I had a Mason ring, you better believe I'd be flashing that sucker.
You should get one.
No, like you don't think that there's that like guys are looking out for each other that way?
Oh no, I'm saying I think they do in that way. I mean, the people.
Well, because like if you serve in the military, you pull out that military card when you get your when you're pulling out your
right, sure.
driver's license. They're like, "Take care, big buddy. Just keep it under 100, okay?"
Right, and there's those are ethical gray areas. I just think it's funny. It just seems so classically Utah to actually bust out the temple recommend. And I kid you not, one of my friends, this happened to him, and his response was, "Yes, and doesn't your temple recommend talk about believing in obeying and sustaining the laws of the land?" You were going 85 and a 65 there, buddy. And then
it was a transgression, not a sin.
Hello, so true. So I think it's
word
good.
Word to the wise, that will not get you far in Missouri. I've tried it.
Yeah.
So, oh, hello. What's this? The temple recommend? He says, "Yes, get out of my state."
Yeah, pretty much.
Just like his
my father.
Said.
My great grandfather.
I'm reminiscing about like Living Scriptures videos and the Lamanites. My father and my father's father. Lemuel.
That's good.
What you just reminded me there.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for that, Joe.
Article here on Pathos called "Why I'm a Mormon Democrat." Al is going to hate this one, and I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, go on. Let's see.
Well, he spends the first little bit talking about some of the history of the Democratic Party within the church, particularly Utah, because that's kind of the best microcosm of all of this. It's funny. We learned through this article that Elder Marlon K. Jensen, who we've talked about a lot of the time of late, kind of being the one to go put out fires. He is an active Democrat. Who knew? And of course, Elder Faust was a noted Democrat. He was head of the Utah Democratic Party. They make some good points, though, that because the church is so, it's so Republican in Utah, and the members are so Republican, and even Elder Jensen says, it's healthy for the church, particularly in Utah, for there to be more two-party balance. It's good for the church because we have actual discussions and diversity about issues, which is important.
Hey, we believe in that.
Yeah, we do. So let's see here. But then the next page, I think, is where Al might have some things to say, because that's what you were talking about before the show, that this writer believes that the Democratic Party takes the strongest position on many moral issues. For example, King Benjamin's address, of course, he talks about feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually, temporally, according to their wants. And he believes the Democrats work harder to defend those priorities. Elder Faust also stated that his reading of the Book of Mormon influenced his political views. He said, quote, "I believe what is said in the Book of Mormon, that the Lord values all of his children equally, black and white, bond and free, male and female, Jew and Gentile." And so that helped Elder Faust in his belief system. Also that the scriptures call on us to educate ourselves, to seek out books of wisdom and learning, which, I mean, you could argue is immoral.
You telling me only the Democrats believe in books?
I think that one's a little bit weaker of an argument, but I do understand the notion that typically more educated academic types are generally more liberal. Not always.
Boo, Jeff, boo.
I'm just saying how it is. And finally, he's a Democrat because he believes LDS scripture and prophets have urged us to live within our means, to be fiscally responsible. Democrat, I think this one's a bit of a stretch. Democrats believe we need to pay for any programs we create. And Democratic administrations have, since the Great Depression, consistently lowered deficit spending, while the Reagan and two Bush administrations have greatly increased
it. That's what it was back in 2009.
Democrats
when
have
this
a strong record
was written.
Of fiscal. Was this actually from 2009? No. Anyway, I guess some fair points, but if you really wanted to try to contort.
Now, here's what I have
the church
problem
stuff,
with.
You could say that it supports
this tagline goes, I believe the Democratic Party works harder to protect and defend the moral priorities of the Mormon Church. I think you would have a, like, I think that there are Democrats that work hard to protect and defend the moral priorities of the Mormon Church. I believe there are Republicans and Libertarians that work hard to protect and defend the moral priorities of the Mormon Church. I don't think any of the parties out there stand aligned with the moral values of the Mormon Church.
And I agree with that.
I don't. I fancy myself a bit, you know, socially liberal and probably more fiscally conservative, and you know, I have my own mix of politic that makes up who I am. But I can look at either party because they're so polarized, which, well, some may argue that they're not that they're closer together than we give them credit for, but like they cling to these random extremities in order to identify themselves as different than the other, that you find holes in either one. Neither party is going to stand up early. It's going to adequately represent what the church stands for, which is obviously right. Why the church doesn't say, oh, you're Mormon, that means you're also Republican.
Well, except for back in the day when they actually said, you're going to be a Republican, you're going to be a Democrat, so we can get statehood. But
contrary to what I think the presumption is in Utah. It's so funny to be moving in there or to see somebody baptized in a predominantly Mormon area and have, you know, just the presumption of like what we were talking about last week with the Mitt Romney rally in DC, right? Send it right to the Mormon list and just expect everyone to go because he's a Mormon and he's Republican. It's like, no, that's not necessarily the case. There is a Mormon out there that doesn't like Princess Bride, I'm sure of it.
No, there are many. I dated one. It was terrible.
Ugh.
Oh.
I equate not liking Princess Bride, of course, to being a Democrat. That's
yeah. And I agree with you, Al. I think the thing is you can find things to support either political ideology within the church's beliefs. You know, it just depends on what you how you want to twist
sure
it and see stuff. And that's fine. But I do think it would do us some good to not demonize Democrats like we often do in the church, as if that, you know, those alleged famous quotes that say you can't be a good Mormon and be a Democrat, which isn't a real quote. It's made up.
No, Boyd K. Packer said that.
No, he's a liar.
He said that. He said you can't be a Mormon and a good Democrat, and in the halls of heaven every knee would bow as a hush went over and they said, you were in the era of Gordon B. Hinckley.
Okay.
You remember that quote that was going around forever?
Not the full one, but yeah, how many quotes do we have in the church that never actually happened or are taken out of context?
Yeah, that's true.
But the point is, obviously, there are issues there. I mean, most Mormons who are Democrats are still pro-life, for example. I mean, you know, there's certain things where we have that. But there's something to be said for it, though, of the other party being the one that generally cares more about caring for the poor and a lot of things, you know, and stuff like that. And, of course, you can criticize all you want, you know, the way it's done. That's fair. But just as other people can look at Republicans and say all you care about is the bottom line and the old pull yourself up by the bootstraps thing, it just doesn't really pan out. Or Or that hilarious photo. Did you see that one going around Facebook a couple weeks ago that showed like Warren Buffett and a bunch of investment bankers just kind of drinking sherry and laughing, and the caption just said, "And they said the wealth would trickle down," and they're all just laughing about it. It's kind of amusing. Either the, party has stuff. So,
well, right, like, well, and what happens typically is we get caught up in the education scheme of somebody will mention, you know, they give us one reason we cling to that, right? Like, I'd say most of the Republicans I know would say you can't be, you know, if you're going to be a Democrat, you're going to have a hard time being a Mormon because of the, you know, the abortion issue, right? And that's the one, sure, that everybody points to, which, yeah, you know, you talk to Harry Reid and he's a pro-life Democrat, right? I, yeah, mean, he figures out a way to make it work. But you talk to, your Democrat, Mormon friends, and they point to, typically it's the lack of social programs and things that take care of one another and make it so we can all sing kumbaya and,
right,
live happily. Like, that's what they point to. And they say, you know, you got to love people. You got to be able to take care of people. How could you turn away a brother on the street? You know, that kind of thing. And that's what they typically point to in my experience of, yeah, you know, how there's a conflict there. So obviously, you know, like we said, neither side has a gimme, but. Yeah, you're right, Jeff. I mean, we totally do. We demonize the Democrats within the church as a kind of a scapegoat of religion, which, or not of religion, of politics. And I think we do ourselves a disservice by discounting it completely and not,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
not considering the options to an argument and rather just voting along.
And this
lines.
Really became an issue mostly in the 70s. I mean, I think Roe versus Wade is something that polarized this a lot. And that's kind of what the whole conversation shifted to social issues during this period. And that's sort of where we get the very clear schism that we have today. And I think that's why people have viewed the Democrats as not part of Mormonism, because of the social issues, not taking into account other stuff. And so
every time I try and articulate a thought now, I think that somebody's just fast forwarding through me to get to you now.
That's right. Hey, so real quick, nice mention here. Tabernacle Choir. Invited. The state of Arizona has invited
this
Motown.
This only matters because your sister is a music teacher there.
It matters because the Tabernacle Choir is a musical ambassador of the church to the world, my friend. And I'm not reading that from a press release. That's what I say.
I believe it.
No, but it's a big deal. Arizona, it is 2012. Arizona and I think New Mexico both turn 100 this year as far as statehood. So that's a big deal for Arizona. Good job. You know, we haven't kicked you out yet.
Kind of a random mention. A former BYU student.
Whoa, I didn't even finish.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The point is the state invited the Tabernacle Choir to perform at the big centennial celebration. So this is like when they sang at Reagan's inauguration. It's a pretty good get for Motab. I mean, there are a lot of Mormons in Arizona, but to be invited to be a featured performer at a big celebration, it's good for us.
I wonder if I could invite them to be a featured performer at my birthday.
You do turn 30 this year.
Oh my gosh, I do.
So I think that it's a worthy cause. If you're going to try to push for that, I think this is the year to do it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I am a prominent single Mormon man. So a former BYU student found dead in Australia. They're saying it's
sad.
Like either an accident or a suicide. 22-year-old Californian was down there as a live-in nanny in Australia where she was found dead in a tree.
Yeah. 30 feet off. Yeah. 30 feet off the ground.
Melissa Joy Ditzel.
And she'd been missing for a month. That's really sad.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah. I feel.
Well, more than a bummer. I don't mean to. Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks. I mean, it's not. You know, sad when that happens to anyone, not just if you're Mormon. That just sucks. Real quick. Don't need to have a huge discussion about it, but another good article written by Fredericksburg.com, and I assume this is for good old Fredericksburg, Virginia. And I don't expect this kind of positive coverage in Virginia, but here it is, about Mormonism and the presidency and how we shouldn't worry. So I think it's a nice, fair look at basically that if Mitt Romney were to be elected president of the United States, we don't need to worry about him being all controlled by Salt Lake, or that Mormonism's weird because no. It's no less absurd than any other religion, for example.
Amen.
And it's a, you know, it's a pretty nice thing. It says that, yeah, I mean, Mitt is an observant Mormon as far as we know. And but it doesn't mean he's going to be taking fielding calls from Salt Lake City and just doing whatever they want.
I actually love that argument of Mormonism's weird. I'm like, listen, we all, if you believe in the Bible, you believe that a donkey stood up and talked to its master.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, it's like, much... we all believe weird stuff. It's just the other stuff's been around so long, we don't question it.
Like, how is an angel giving plates to a man? Like, that's the craziest thing that we've got. How is that any weirder than a donkey standing up and talking to an angel and a man? People.
Well, you know, speaking of that, Al, you sent me this wonderful thing of the scriptures for kids.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how they would explain the donkey episode in this for the one reading level.
Let's go for it.
It's only the Book of Mormon. I don't think there's any Old Testament here.
Are you for real?
No. they don't actually have it. The Book of Mormon.
They've got New Testament and Book of Mormon.
Because they know that the Old Testament's just too shady.
I feel like I'm reading the Zarahemla Times when I'm when
it's
I'm
pretty reading. Awesome. Look at the story of, I love you click on the Book of Alma and it jumps all the way to King Lamoni. And it says, look at Ammon. He is talking with King Lamoni. The king likes Ammon and lets him be his servant. Oh no! Lamanite robbers try to steal the king's sheep. Ammon has the power of God. He fights and defeats them all. All
right, I got to see how much traffic this guy is getting. I hope he's doing great.
Look! I like how everyone of these starts with not some simple, like, continuing the story, keeps saying, like, look!
Wait, read it, read it in Spanish. Does it get better?
I'll have to put it. Hold on, let's go in Spanish.
Hola!
Hold on.
It's like Dora the Explorer.
Mira a Ammon! Él le está hablando a Rey Lamoni. Al rey le cae bien Amón y al rey deja que Amón sea su sirviente. ¡Oh, no! Ladrones lamanitas tratan de robar las ovejas del rey. Amón tiene el poder de Dios. Lucha por ellos y derrota a todos. ¡Mira!
He's not bad. He's doing like 25,000
Mira,
a month.
El rey Lamoni no puede creer el poder de Amón.
All right, that's enough.
I just love that. Just... ¡Mira! ¡Ojo!
Now you're just flaunting your Spain Spanish.
Yeah, oh, I just found a great page that talks about the Zoramites. You'll love this aspect of Spain Spanish. Ready? Los Zoramitas se paran a un rameum.
Zoramitas.
No, Zoramitas.
I love your
Se
zines.
Paran en un rameumptón para darle gracias a Dios. A la gente pobre no se le permite entrar a la iglesia. Amon tiene una idea. Miren!
Anyway.
I'm just loving all the commands that keep saying, like, look, pay attention, look. It's hilarious.
We've clearly overstayed our welcome.
Just a little bit, but it just kept cracking me up how many exclamations started every
look.
Page. Look! All right, that's it. We're done.
Well, everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week, hopefully on better, newer technology.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But until then, always, nothing should change on your end, so don't worry. But, of course, find us, though, at thisweekinmormons.com and email us at contact@thisweekinmormons. And, of course, don't forget our other podcast, Sunday School Bonanza, to prepare for Sunday school. It's wonderful. You'll love it. We're not offensive. It's just a very pleasant time. And also facebook.com/thisweekinmormons.
We're not offensive.
And Twitter @TheRealTwim. You can find everything about us all over there. And we love interacting with you and hearing from you. So
we will spill the dirt and
is that an expression?
Uncover the beans.
Ah, okay.
All right. Have a good night, everybody. Good day.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thanks, Albert.
Mr. Jeff.
See you later, buddy.
See you, buddy.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Have a good President's Day if you are in the States. If you're not, have a good Prime Minister or Queen or Authoritarian Dictatorship Day. And we will talk to all of you later. This has been This
God
Week.
God save the King.
There is no king, except for in Spain and Belgium and...
The Swedish
Denmark
King.
Denmark and Sweden and Norway all have kings. Okay. So I missed them.
See you, man.
All right. Later, dude. Bye, everyone. This has been Twim. See you later.